Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, in the heart of Dublin City Centre, right in the heart, behind the doors of number 15, St Stephen's Green, is a really special place that invites visitors to take a step back in time to learn about and recall days gone by in Dublin City. But there are big changes ahead for this little museum of Dublin, and Evelyn O'Rourke has been in to see the museum and meet the team because they're getting ready for their next exciting chapter. Now, Evelyn, the museum prides itself on offering something really different from the familiar museums and galleries that we associate with the tourist market, and it does that really well, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Well, let's start with the address. I mean, what an address. Right there, bang on the heart of Dublin, in the middle of that row of beautiful Georgian buildings on the north side of Stephen's Green, the Grafton Street side, a few doors down from the Shelburne Hotel. Launched in 2011, this museum started with a little small collection. It had its own little display at a time. But what makes this place unique is that 99% of the collection has been created by public donation. So it's an unusual kind of collection policy. And it covers everything and anything to do with Dublin's history, really over the last 100 years, from the visit of Queen Victoria to celebrating JFK's visit to Dublin, to a whole room dedicated to one of my favourite bands, U2, of course. And everything and anything in between is on display there, from like tennis balls, right? There's a beautiful display case with tennis balls chewed on by dogs given from Dunleary Park. Claire's going, really?
Listen, I have been there recently, just before Christmas, and we had a great time in there. I couldn't get the children out. We were there for hours.
It's really sweet. And they framed it beautifully, so it looks like it's beside Ulysses. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's absolutely hilarious. So it's all, everything is potentially a display in display case there. But when I went to visit the museum, I started with a tour from their historian in residence there, Dr. Daryl Hendley Rooney.
Hi Evelyn, you're very welcome to the Little Museum of Dublin here on Stephen's Green. So the museum has been here since 2011. We're a registered charity, and it's our mission to tell the story of Dublin.
And look, the exciting thing is, we are here right on Stephen's Green. I mean, I'm looking down to my left and we've got the famous Shelburne Hotel, up to my right, the Stephen's Green Centre, looking out over the green. The location here really matters.
Absolutely. I mean, we're in perfect location here. Built here in 1776, this house. And one of the unique things about the little museum is that the house itself is actually an artefact, really.
Yes,
and people
that's
come
what I'm thinking.
In.
The house itself has a history.
Yeah, I mean, people don't readily access Georgian buildings anymore. A lot of them are in private hands, businesses. So to be able to come in, see the museum itself. I mean, even little things like the fireplaces, those marble fireplaces we have in the museum, they're all original to the late 18th century when the house was built. And I always tell people, make sure you look up, because in the building, in the rooms itself, all the plasterwork, that's all dated back to the 18th century. So I always say, people, the house is the main artifact. Don't forget that.
Keep looking up. So yeah. When do you guys come into the picture?
So we came in here in 2011. It was one floor. It was actually, we were up on the first floor. We're very fortunate. We have a great relationship with our patron here. Dublin City Council owned the property. We have a long-term lease, 30 years here.
The house needed work, obviously.
Yeah, well, I mean, in terms of the restoration, as you know, these are listed buildings and we have to take care of the heritage of the buildings themselves. So we're fortunate over the years we managed to acquire more space in the museum, and now we have the entire building to ourselves as part of this redevelopment project, which is really exciting. We've been fundraising for many years now to try and upgrade the building.
You and I are on the bottom step here, Stephen's Green. We're leaving that behind us now and turning our back on it, making our way up a number of steps here.
It means that there isn't universal access, Evelyn, you know, which is so important.
I
mean, our goal and our mission is to tell the story of Dublin. So if there's only select people that can access the building, you know, we fail in that mission. So we've been really fortunate to raise 4.1 million from our various patrons and benefactors to build a lift out the front and then a lift out the back. We're also redeveloping the basement into an education centre. So come up with me here, Evelyn, and I'll show you upstairs.
OK, so we'll talk more about what their plans are in a moment. But you mentioned this, like the style in which they deliver the information. That's what makes it stand out, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is not your usual tour, right? It's the 29-minute tour is how they call it. It's just more personal. It's a bit cheekier. It's good fun. They put as much emphasis, as we were saying, on U2 as they do artefacts to do with the War of Independence. And it's in that building there. That building's actually owned by Dublin City Council, and the museum operates as a registered charity, so it's a not-for-profit venture. But it was launched by its founder, Trevor White, in 2011, but it has proven to be a real hit with visitors. And in keeping with that mission that they have of a museum about Dublin, for Dublin, they get so many donors offering personal items and ordinary historical items to the museums. Like, do you remember the Millennium Milk bottles, the
yes.
glass bottles? They're there in pride to place, as well as tickets for famous gigs. But it kind of adds to the charm of the experience, and the tour guides are critical to this because they're funny and they're also very charming. So here you'll get a little more insight into the unique items and experiences on offer here from the Education Outreach Manager, Claire Jenkins.
Now, folks, you're very welcome to the second half of the tour, the half where everyone stays awake. But the tour is so good, I stayed awake. Yay, that's the kind of press I get for this. Anyway, to recap, Dublin was an Irish village, a Viking town, and an English city. But after 751 years of...
Claire, you're beautifully dressed.
Oh, thank you very much. We do like to dress up.
So part of it for you is that from the minute you step in here, you're stepping into this world.
Exactly. Yeah, we do like to defy people's expectations of what a museum is. And
a little bit cheeky.
Yeah. I personally believe that humour is a great way to get certain facts about history to stay in your mind. And that is at the core of what our mantra here is: humour, the history and hospitality of Dublin. We also don't want it to feel like a tourist trap. We want it to feel that we really want to connect to you. I suppose the first room that really hit me when I first came to the museum was the Treasury and the Millennium Milk bottles. For some reason, that brought me right back to
the
80s.
It's so familiar to me.
So resonant,
I stood there in the room and I thought, oh my goodness, I remember the blocks and the red and the colours.
Everywhere you look, there's something new to see. We also have one of those really big old mobile phones. And when I do tours with kids, I often hand it around and I say, look, you can't even take a photograph with this one. And they're all amazed at the weight of it. So I think the tangible nature of how we present things to people is really powerful as well. It's not a digital place. You know, we don't really do a lot of digital content. It's very much about the objects. We say we tell big stories using little things, and that's something we love to celebrate. There was also something for me when I first came to the museum. There's a sign up that says you belong in a museum, and that is funny, but it's also a very powerful message, because sometimes I feel that depending on someone's background, they might feel a little bit intimidated by certain cultural
institutions. Yeah, am I welcome through the door? What happens next? Absolutely.
Exactly. And when it comes to sort of education and outreach, those things are really important, that we have access and inclusion, and that the people of Dublin, everybody, feels that they belong and that they can come in and that this museum is for them.
I love how they let you touch the displays, you know, and they make you feel as though you're welcome to interact with them. And that's why I know my children absolutely loved the experience there, because they feel as though they're part of it. Now, the museum is in that gorgeous Georgian building on the green, but that building presents its challenges for the team, and they are setting about their next chapter. Mm-hmm. So what are they doing? Are they modernising that building?
Yeah, I mean, their visitor numbers are growing year on year, so they need to renovate the museum. But the challenge lies, of course, in taking on work in a protected listed building and modernising it sensitively. So they would say they've around 100,000 visitors and counting a year making their way into the museum. But they need to do things like facilities like lifts for better access, because they want everybody to be able to access it, upgrading fire safety standards and expanding that education outreach experience. So the museum's temporarily on the move as extensive modernisation work is undertaken. So here Claire Jenkins is going to tell us more about that. But first, just to give you some more of a sense of the tour of this, you'll get a little flavour of some of the sights and sounds on offer there, as Daryl is going to explain here. Like, for example, there's a little thing they call the Stephen's Green Miniature Cinema, right? It's tiny. And they collaborate with Dublin Port. And this is a clip of a short movie that they made there, written by the poet Majella Kelly, directed by Natasha Waugh. There's some familiar voices in it as well. But this is just an example of the kind of collaborations they're doing with other parts of Dublin as well to tell the story of Dublin.
This is the latest winner of the Dublin Port Short Prize. So it's an initiative based on the partnership between Dublin Port Company and the Little Museum of Dublin, and it awards up-and-coming artists basically a financial pot to create something related to the history and heritage of Dublin City. This is the latest winner, Dublin Europhace.
And they get to play it here.
Yeah, so this is the latest winner. A long-form poem called Dublin Europhace.
It was the face of Leopold Wilmot, and on June 16th every year, it is Panama hats, parasols and gorgons of...
So you're here in the building today, but already I can feel things are moving on. You know, the scale of this is massive.
It is. We are limited in what we can showcase, and we're really happy to say that thanks to the Department of Culture and Fáilte Ireland, we've been allocated funding to expand. And as part of that expansion, we hope to be able to showcase more of that collection. And so that's part of the project. We'll also have a new purpose-built education space, so we will be able to expand on what we already do for schools and also local community. And it's really exciting time, because while we are closed, we're opening up this pop-up venue on Pembroke Street called the History Factory. And our hope is that there we can sort of try out a few new things.
And what makes you enthusiastic about this work?
It's how you make people feel. I'm from Dublin. Both my parents are from Dublin. So I am a local Northsider. I always grew up with Dublin folk songs. Our house was always full of books about Dublin. I suppose that stays in you, doesn't it? I did a Sean O'Casey play when I was in transition year, and tenement life really fascinated me. There's something we say on the tour about, you know, after the Great Famine, and talking about, say, Patrick Pearse or James Connolly, how their parents, they would have remembered the famine as something that had only happened recently. And that really struck me that, you know, we often think of history as being a distant history. I think when people come here and they see stuff like, you know, Mary Robinson's election poster, they kind of then are more connected to the idea of history back in the 1800s, because it's as valid and that it's ever evolving.
And it's that sense, you know, it's to give that sense of significance maybe to ordinary things that we grew up with.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a Fabergé egg in a museum. Something ordinary and everyday can be much more powerful.
So they really want to make sure that people won't miss out on the collections during the temporary move. So what are they going to do?
Well, the plan is from Sunday they're on the move there, as they've decanted much of their collection from Stephen's Green. They plan to be back bigger and better in early 2025. But in the meantime, as Claire was saying there, they're opening the History Factory and a pop-up shop at 33 Lower Pembroke Street. It'll be open from 9 to 5, 7 days a week. And they're also going to be offering new experiences like walking tours of the area, and they want everybody to feel welcome there. And of course, they keep saying that, you know, donors are welcome. They're delighted to talk to donors about their collections. So check out littlemuseum.ie for more information. But here Daryl recalls one of the most significant items that they have. It's kind of the accreditation letter, the authorisation letter signed by Eamon de Valera, authorising his TDs to negotiate the treaty with the British government in 1921, and how it's displayed up on one wall beside quirkier stuff like the thumb of the statue of Father Theobald Matthew.
So we're now coming up to the top floor now, where we have three exhibition spaces. Now, if you'd like to step in here with me, Evelyn, this is our first room that guests are brought in.
Up high, looking right over Stephen's Green.
That's beautiful. I mean, what a view. As you can see in the space itself, stunning. So we usually call this room the 1916 room. We even have a Harry Clark original stained glass.
You just have a Harry Clark casually hanging there.
Yeah, so that was actually found in a skip.
No.
Yeah, that was it depicts St. Brendan on his voyage. I suppose in many ways, what we love to do is, it's the stories behind the artifacts, Evelyn, that really encapsulates so much. I mean, we have more mundane and quotidian stuff, things like old Jacob's cream cracker tins, you know, or bottles of Black Terror and Blue Nun. But then we have really significant pieces, and that is the accreditation document of the Dáil Plenipotentiaries. That was the document there that
so
was signed.
So read that to me there, then.
In virtue of the authority vested in me by Dáil Éireann, I hereby appoint Arthur Griffith TD, Michael Collins TD, Robert C. Barton TD, Edmund J. Duggan TD, and George Gavin Duffy TD as envoy plenipotentiary from the elected government of the Republic of Ireland to negotiate and conclude on behalf of Ireland. And
it's Askeilg as well, then, so you have the two versions.
Actually, Dev's signature and the Irish version, so that's one of the artefacts we're so proud of to have here in the collection. I mean, we have really quirky things, like we have actually Mary McAleese's rosary beads from her first Holy Communion. Like, I'll give you a laugh, very recently a donor came in and said, you know, I have this object here, it's Father Matthew's thumb. I said, Father Matthew's thumb? His actual thumb? She said, oh God, no, from the statue. I said, the one on O'Connell Street? She said, yeah. She said, well, do you remember when Italy and Ireland and all the fanfare? And I said, Italia 90. She said, yeah. She said, well, the bus came down O'Connell Street, team were being shown off. She said, a couple of local kids climbed the statue of Father Theobald Matthew, and one little fella pulled the thumb off. And she said, God, you know, I'll pick it up and I'll bring it to OPW. And was in her back garden for the last 30 years. So that came in very recently, the thumb of Theobald Matthews.
Oh, I love that story. That's the Little Museum of Dublin. They're renovating their home back, though, in 2025. Keep an eye on the littlemuseumofdublin.ie. Now, Evelyn, we have to say a big thank you to you for all of the reports, all of your work here on the show, because Evelyn, you might have heard this, is off to the newsroom, staying in the house, but you'll be arts and media correspondent, and we'll be hearing lots more from Evelyn from the other side of the house. But I just wanted to say on behalf of myself and all of the team, thank you so much. She's crying now. Don't cry, Evelyn. You're not leaving us. We're still going to be friends, and we're so grateful to you for everything you've done for this show, and we're very excited for what's next.
Thank you, Claire. It's a joy to be with you and the team. You're just a marvellous, wonderful team. And I'm really sad.
We're excited for you.
I know
it's
exciting, but sad for me today.
Evelyn O'Rourke, thank you so much. We'll take a break before the gathering.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.